The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I'm so grateful to Father Drew and to Father Matt for having us here, and to all of you for having us here to your parish. Brother Pius, who traveled with me, is actually with Father Matt at the Lord's Diner now, serving. Otherwise, he would be here to say hi to you as well. And our hope is that through this week, we'll have a parish mission, that in the morning, I'm going to celebrate the Mass and preach, and Brother Pius will give a talk afterwards at 8:30, and then also at noon, give a talk for those who want to come. And we're inviting you to bring your lunch to that. And then in the evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have special events each of the nights. Eucharistic adoration with music and confessions one night, different events each night. There's something in the bulletin about it for more information. But we come to you from New York City. We both live in the South Bronx, about a mile from Yankee Stadium, which for Brother Pius is very painful because he's a Boston Red Sox fan. He actually told another group that he goes running on the track across the street from Yankee Stadium and prays against them. So, about a week ago, I was driving just north of New York City through Yonkers to a retreat house upstate to give a retreat, and I was on the Sprainbrook Parkway, and it goes right past a reservoir, the grassy Sprain Reservoir. And I had just been there 2 weeks ago, again, going to the same retreat house. But this was different. This time, I looked over, and where I expected to see this beautiful reservoir, it was empty, totally drained. It was completely empty, where 2 weeks earlier, it had been full with glistening water. And I'll be honest with you, it was a little unsettling. It was just odd. It was strange to see. Like, it just wasn't right to see that beautiful reservoir drained and empty. You could see sandy kind of banks where there should be water, and down in the bottom, there was mud exposed to the sun that was all now cracked and exposed. It was a bit odd. So I looked online thinking, this is strange. Like, what happened? Did the dam break? You know, was something wrong with the water? What was going on? So I looked, and actually a lot of people online were speculating why the reservoir was drained. So the city of Yonkers actually had to release a statement saying, "Don't worry, everything's fine. We're not, like, looking for dead bodies or anything like that. It's okay. We drained it on purpose because the dam, every couple of years, needs to be fixed. We have to do maintenance work on the dam. So we purposely opened the valves and let the water out." Okay, all right, it's empty for a reason. Well, as I thought about this, just this experience that I had of feeling like, wow, it just doesn't look right. It's meant to be full. I thought, well, gosh, that's really a lot like our own hearts. Our hearts were made to be full. And when they feel empty, it really feels unsettling. it doesn't feel right. We know that something's wrong. And we try to fill it in, right? We look for places and things and people to help us fill those hearts again so that our reservoir will be full. In connection with the gospel today, I found this to be a powerful image for myself as I considered, what is my heart full of, especially as we begin Lent? Remember, our Lord, just before this event in the desert, was at his baptism. And there at his baptism, the skies were open and the Father's voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is what filled the heart of Jesus. This was what he lived off of, the love of his Father. And so when it says the Spirit drove him into the desert to be tempted, he went with this heart that was full of the Father's love and his knowledge that he is, his identity, his truest identity, is as the beloved Son of the Father. And what does the devil do? He tries to tempt him into questioning his identity. Over and over again, three times, he says, "If you are the Son of God, then why is this happening? If you are the Son of God, why would your Father leave you hungry out here? If you are the Son of God, why would he cause you to suffer in order to win the kingdom?" And on and on. We just heard the reading from the first chapter of Genesis, which reminds us of our first parents, Adam and Eve, likewise being tempted to doubt God's goodness. And whereas Adam and Eve unfortunately fell victim to the devil's temptation to doubt God's goodness, our Lord is victorious, as St. Paul told us in the second reading. Our Lord overcame the temptations of the devil to win that victory, to share it with us. I'd like to take a minute just to examine a little bit more closely what those temptations were like, because I believe it reflects on our experience when we feel that our hearts are empty and we don't know exactly what our truest identity is, and we want to try to find that identity, we look to some of these things that the devil tries to tempt our Lord with. The first one. The devil says to him, "You're hungry. Take these stones and make them by your power into bread." He's really tempting him by saying, "What's your identity? Isn't your identity wrapped up in what you can do with your abilities?" All of us are kind of tempted at times with that. People ask us, "Oh, you know, nice to meet you. What do you do?" Right? It's like the first thing we ask somebody to try to get to know who they are. What do you do for a living? What do you do? Well, I had an experience of this past week on Ash Wednesday. I was distributing ashes, and I made the sign of the cross on people's forehead, and I thought, "Hey, I'm pretty good at that." And I saw somebody else. I was like, "Oh, Father so-and-so makes smudge marks, but I make a really nice cross." I was like, "This is who I am. I'm the priest who makes nice crosses." And that leads us to our second temptation. The devil says to him, "Throw yourself down from the parapet of the temple, and the angels will catch you. All will speak well of you. You will have a good reputation." Aren't we tempted very often to find our identity and a good reputation? Everybody check it out. Father Luke's the one making the nice crosses on people's foreheads. He's a good priest. You can tell your friends about him. I was tempted myself to think, "This is my good reputation. This is who I am. People will finally know that I'm good." But sometimes that gives out. I make a mistake. I accidentally smudge somebody's cross, and then where's my identity? Well, that takes us to our third temptation. The devil says, "Bow down before me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Sometimes we try to find our identity in the things we possess. Okay, maybe I'm not the priest who makes good crosses, but at least I have the coolest sandals of all the Franciscans. I've got the best pair of Birkenstocks. Okay, maybe that's really silly, but sometimes we find our identity in the cool car we drive, which on a day like today is so beautiful. It's a convertible. Maybe you want to find your identity in that. But that's really thin, isn't it? Really weak. But we do it. We do it. These temptations, though, are something that we've all fallen prey to find our identity in our abilities, in what people think of us, in the things that we have. And yet, brothers and sisters, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. You and I are God's beloved sons and daughters. Someone who learned this very powerfully is our founder, St. Francis, who we're going to talk about during this parish mission. So I'd like to tell you just really quickly the beginning of his story. Francis was the son of Pietro Bernardone, the wealthiest cloth merchant in all of Assisi. At a time when the noble class was being rivaled by these rising merchants who were making lots of money and kind of threatening the nobles. And so Francis grew up as almost like a quasi-noble in his town, being wealthy and well-known. He actually had money to spend on great parties. He was known. His reputation was that he was the king of the parties. He would sing French poetry to women at their windows. He was a fun guy to be around. And yet he wasn't satisfied in his heart. He felt an emptiness in his reservoir, even though he was wealthy, even though he had a good reputation. So he thought, fame. If I become a famous knight, then I'll be happy. At some point, the Assisians, the merchants, cast all the nobles out of the city and sent them to Perugia. But that wasn't enough. Now the nobles wanted to try to come back, so the Assisians and the Perugians were at war with each other, which often happened back in Italy 800 years ago. And so Francis said, I'll become a knight, and I'll go and I'll fight the Perugians and keep back those nobles, and the merchants will rise up. Well, he goes off to war, and it goes very badly for him. He gets locked in jail in a Perugian dungeon for over a year until his father is able to ransom him back and bring him back to Assisi, where after a long illness, he recovers. So his attempt to be wealthy and a lot of fun at the king of the parties and to be famous failed him. And he was left, God left him intentionally with this experience of being empty, of being locked in jail, of being sick on his deathbed for a long time. And it was good for him. It was good for him. He experienced God's presence in his life, and it began to fill his heart authentically. See, that's the thing. Those reservoirs of our hearts, sometimes they need to be emptied out so that our hearts can be repaired, just like the reservoir up in New York. It had to be drained so that the dam could be fixed, so that it could be filled up with good water once again. Brothers and sisters, our Lenten observance is like that. Our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving helps us to turn our hearts outward and give of ourselves so that it makes this space for God to enter in. So often, our lives, like Francis, if we give into these temptations, it can make us more and more turned in on ourselves. Actually, St. Bonaventure describes Francis as a man kind of bent over and weighed down and turned into himself, like a heart turned in on itself. And Bonaventure shows that Francis opens up little by little throughout his life so he can stand upright and say, Our Father who art in heaven. Francis became a man who was fully alive in the knowledge of the Father's love. And that's why he's so attractive to us. Why he becomes a man that they say was like another Christ, because he lived out that identity as being God's beloved son, just as Jesus did. One more being emptied out image is that Jesus, our Lord, in order to give us that identity, allowed himself to be emptied out. To the very last drop of his blood, he emptied himself, quite literally, for love of you and love of me. In order to give the power to the sacrament of reconciliation and the Eucharist that he gave us, to be with us and to reveal the Father's love to us, he poured himself out so that we could be filled with his love. I really pray that we could come to God this week during this parish mission and even during this entire season of Lent with our hearts as they are, that we could bring our hearts to God and say, Lord, I give you permission to empty me out of the junk that I filled my heart with, heal me, restore me, and fill me back up with your love and your life. Because, brothers and sisters, that's what we're meant to be, God's beloved sons and daughters, living the very life of Christ in this world. Come to God this Lent and during this week of mission with what's on your heart right now. What is it? Take a moment to think about perhaps what's been troubling you, what's been bothering you, what have you been struggling with? What hunger for God can you bring? I'm sure he will respond to you because he is your good father who loves you and wants to deepen his relationship with you this Lent. I'm so excited to see the graces God pours out this week and to be with you and to get to know you during these days. If you can make it during the day, after the morning mass, Brother Pius will give a talk, and then again he'll repeat it at noon. And then at 7 o'clock we'll gather here for the evening sessions. I'm really looking forward to a wonderful week with all of you.